Well, guys,
it's the first episode of season two.
Woo-hoo!
My God, could I have used a coach?
The information really applies to anybody.
And this is How Not to Suck at Divorce.
We're here.
Where are we? And where are we now? Well, folks, we haven't gone far. We're still on the floor of Morgan's son's closet.
That's right. We have underwear and Legos around us, and Currently the microphone is propped up by a box of Legos.
Only the best for us.
That's right.
We really thought that maybe between season one and season two, we'd be like, I don't know, in a fancy office somewhere overlooking the water.
Yeah. But why wreck what's working?
Right.
It's working.
And like this keeps us grounded. Literally, as we're sitting on the floor of a closet.
That's right. And so cheers.
Cheers. We're here. Shake it.
What are we drinking today? All right, well, I'll start. So I am drinking a Woodford bourbon with a little bit of diet ginger beer because you just don't want to add those extra calories when you're drinking the dark stuff. I also wanted to kind of ease into this podcast.
It's true. So I have to tell you all, I was a little bullied when I was trying to make my cocktail. I was a little bullied.
By who?
I don't know. The cocktail queen
the
of
cocktail
Chicago.
Police, okay?
The cocktail police of Chicago wanted me to hurry up.
Well, let me just tell you, Andrea can't decide what she's going to drink for about 15 minutes, and then she sits there and adds like 900 concoctions to her drink, like it's going to come out like she just made it in a gourmet cocktail bar.
It's so triggering. If Steve heard this right now, he would be like in his car yelling, "Amen! Amen! You should hear her trying to order at a restaurant."
Oh, God.
When was it? Last weekend, we went out, and I started to order something, and I saw him, like, put his hand, like, his head, like, down in his hands. I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, it's been 3 minutes. Just give the order.
Well, on that same token, why don't you tell people
exactly
what you're drinking?
I'm
what
so
did you settle
Sally
on?
From When Harry Met Sally. Okay, it's vodka with iced tea lemonade, and no, you do not have the wrong calendar date in front of you. It still is January. It's just what I like. And some extra lime juice. But everyone who knows me knows I really am more of a wine person. It's either wine or dirty vodka martinis. So I'm trying.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you so much.
You're doing
I really
a great
appreciate
job.
Your support.
All right. So we are season two, episode one. We're super excited about this season.
Very.
And on our season opener, How Not to Suck at Divorce, Season 2, who are we chatting with today?
Okay, this is really, really cool. As you all know, we talked about on the finale of Season 1 that what's different about Season 2 is that we are having guests. And we thought really long and hard about bringing people on who are actually going to give a unique perspective from divorce on divorce, and people who can offer some kind of insight. So it's going to be a mashup all year of divorce professionals and real life people and blah, blah, blah. Today, we are speaking to someone who actually kind of lives a little bit in both
right
of those pockets.
Yep.
Her name is Michelle Dempsey Moltak, and I know her because she's an Instagram personality. But she is also a divorce coach, a divorce specialist, and now an author. She wrote a really cool book called Moms Moving On, and it's a guide.
Right. And you know what's so unique about her? So I don't know her. I'm not an Instagram personality, I would not say. But what I do like about her legally, and I think what you will like as you listening to this podcast, is that she comes at her book and her personality online from many different aspects. She's a single parent. She went through a divorce herself, and she talks about it, similar to you.
Mm-hmm.
But she also is a certified divorce coach and a certified divorce specialist. So she has all these different facets, and she's going to come on here and talk about, you know, all of these perspectives combined into one to help our listeners.
Right, because I think what makes that just so interesting is that not only do you have what you personally went through, right? But by all the people that she speaks to and all the different clients that she's had and all the people who reach out to her publicly with their stories, I mean, much like what I've experienced, I mean, it all probably went into the back of her brain when she was forming, you know, these thoughts that she put down in a book. So
I know
talking to her is going to be very cool.
Very cool.
Before we do that,
yes,
we must, because the people are dying to know what the best part and the worst part of our weeks were. So this is like really exciting, but we are going to be playing, I don't really know if you can call it a game or what the right descriptor is, but instead of calling it the rosebud thorn that some people call it, or the hits and the pits, or the hots and the knots, we're going to make this relatable to like the movie crowd.
Ooh, let's do it.
Right?
Yeah.
So the positive moment, or the highlight moment of the week, we're going to call our rom-com.
Yes.
And then the low moment of the week, we'll call the horror film.
Mm-hmm. That's
dun,
right.
Dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
The rom-com and the horror movie.
Morgan, give it to me, girl.
All right. So rom-com. I've been looking forward all week. I have a girl's night at a hotel, because everybody knows that moms or parents in general are so busy, and we always say this on our podcast, take care of yourself first. Yep. Well, guess how you do that? You do it with your girlfriends or your guy friends, and just get away from, if you have children or the stresses of work. So that is my
rom-com.
If
you have children, leave them.
Run full speed, okay?
Just so keep going.
That is my rom-com. I am looking forward to a girls' night.
Wait, when are you going? When?
We are going tomorrow overnight in the city.
Where?
We got a hotel downtown, and it will be fabulous.
We're what hotel? What's the room number?
I am not going to tell you that.
Oh, okay, fine.
Okay. So we're going to do that, massages, dinners, and just have some girl time. So that's my rom-com.
That's so, with a group?
Or yes, just there's about like 7 of us. Yes, and it came together last minute, which I'm even more excited about.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. And this might be because I used to watch way too many episodes of The Housewives, but like 7 girls.
Yes, women, I would say. Women.
You know, potato, potato. That, to me, sounds like a nightmare. But that also, like, something, and I don't even know if you know this about me, I hate groups. Mm. Did you know that about me?
I didn't know that.
I hate groups. I'm really good one-on-one. I am not good in a group. I shut down. I become, like, really quiet. I get really anxious. And I will undoubtedly be the first one to leave.
Why are you trying to ruin my rom-com?
I'm just wondering, though, it's because that you and I are so different in that respect. Like,
I don't know if we're so different. I mean, my group of girlfriends are all very similar, and we know who's going to be hanging with who. So I go to bed early, so I hang out with the other girl that goes to bed early. I'm not the party animal, so, yeah. You know, we know where you belong, right? Like, we're old enough to know where
you belong.
So these
are, like, long-time-ish.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, that's different. That's
exactly.
Different. Okay.
All right, so my horror film or movie would be that the weather here right now is awful. It is cold, it's snowy, it's icy, and with the horrible word COVID going around, I decided that I would drive to my office, and I realized that in the freezing cold, well, when I drive, I get to dress up more because I'm not walking in the city as much, mm-hmm. So I wore a really cute dress with really cute heels and all these things, and then I realized I was completely out of gas, had to go to the gas station, freezing my you-know-what off, trying to get the gas in the car, looking like a hot mess. So I look like a mess no matter what. So it was just a really bad start to the morning. That was my horror day of this week.
What day was it?
That would be Tuesday.
Tuesday?
Yeah. So I'd like to forget Tuesday.
I wish I knew what you were wearing. Like, did you not have a coat? Like, I don't understand.
No, I didn't have a coat because, like, you know, if you're driving and you've got a fancy coat on over your fancy outfit.
I hate driving
so,
in a coat.
Yeah, so I put the coat on the driver's seat. So I'm like, oh, I'm just going to fill up really quickly. Well, then it's like the credit card's taking forever. And it's like, what is happening? And at that point, I just look like a mess. And that's just, I just gave up that day. So I started up. Giving up.
No, guys, I don't know if our listeners are feeling what I'm feeling right now, but if that was like your horror film moment of the week. I would venture to say things are going really well for you in the morning.
I'm not complaining. That was just a bad day.
Okay? All right, guys.
Give me yours.
Come on over to my side of the Lego box. So my rom-com moment, and this moment was so amazing. I, on Tuesday night, the same night that you heroically put gas in your car, and
That's right.
then a hero Thank you. Comes along.
Thank you, everybody.
I really, you are such
You feel
a
for me, don't you?
You really are.
You feel for me, I know.
So on. No, but like really, you know, not all heroes wear capes.
Okay, I'm leaving this podcast.
Yeah, goodbye. I am leaving my son's closet.
I'm out of here.
I'm taking my Legos with me. Okay. Tuesday night, I was a guest speaker on a call. A group of women who are coaches. They're Beachbody coaches. And Beachbody brings me on from time to time to do entertaining and motivational speaking. So I was on a call with a group of women, and I decided that instead of just me talking for the whole time, I would turn it over to them. And what I wanted to do was kind of like, remember the movie Mean Girls?
Mm-hmm.
And remember the Burn Book?
Oh,
where they like
yes.
put all the things like, we're gonna put in our Burn Book. But I wanted to do like an emotional version of that where everybody goes around, it was on Zoom, so everyone goes around like the Zoom grid and puts something in the Burn Book, like whatever they feel like is currently stopping them from working really hard, right? Or doing what they need
like
to do.
Like working out. Is it
no,
just eating?
In their marketing.
Oh,
no,
marketing.
These are all coaches. These are people who sell Beachbody, not Got people
it.
Who are doing, yeah. So we went around the room and talked about like what's really stopping you? And that was going to be my vehicle to then go into the rest of my spiel of how they need to push through that and, you know, go on and do their jobs. Mm-hmm. It turned into, I mean, I felt like Oprah, really.
You did.
It was powerful.
You're a pariah.
Everybody was crying. Everyone had so...
Crying?
Yeah. You know what? Not everyone needs to put super unleaded
That's
into
right.
their...
Gas in your car.
Seriously. Uh-huh. No, because there is... We all have so much shit.
Yes.
There's so much stuff.
Yes.
And then it was really interesting because I found that when I share something that's very raw and vulnerable, it gives others the green light to do the same. And it was 10 o'clock at night. We had to wrap the call. I wasn't even able to get to the rest of my stuff, so we have to do a part two next week. But it was so healthy to have everyone get their stuff out.
Mm.
And the way that these other women, who probably have never met each other in person before, because they're all over the world, like support each other. And everyone took turns and gave each other like the space to like get their stuff out.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And it really helped me because a lot of these women go on to hire me to be their image consultants to help them do their job most effectively. And it's just really
cool. To pick the best sports bra?
It's not about working
out. Sorry,
I
can't
help it. It's about their business.
It's
no,
Beachbody.
Okay, it is Beachbody. But, okay, again. You are ruining my rom-com.
I'm sorry. Your rom-com sounds amazing, actually.
It's so romantic.
You know, but actually, the takeaway there is just being kind and getting it out. Everyone's going through something.
Really, it's being vulnerable. What I think it was is how beautiful it is when someone can be vulnerable and what comes out of it.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was my amazing moment. My not amazing moment, my horror film, is that... those who follow me know that I have severe endometriosis.
Mm, yep.
Sucks. And I've had a horrible flare-up this week. And the big thing for me is it's the pain and all of that, blah, blah, blah. I can deal with that. I'm used to it. It's the way that my body changes in the weeks leading up to this. And you know this, Morgan, because when you and I did our photo shoot
yep,
last,
you were miserable.
I was having, yeah.
You were absolutely miserable.
And I have major, major, major body image issues I have for years and years. And so this week was really hard for me because until today, actually, none of my clothes fit.
Ugh.
And I get very emotional when that happens.
I think
when
every woman or man, too.
Probably.
Anyone.
Probably.
Awful.
But I felt really bad about myself. And it's embarrassing to admit that because you think like, oh, my God, you're a 40-year-old woman. You've got two kids. Like, you have a whole life. You run businesses and you're feeling bad about yourself because you can't wear jeans.
But no, you do.
I felt really unworthy. I felt disgusting. It got dark.
You look really pretty now.
Thank you. I'm working on accepting compliments. But anyway, that was my horror film.
That does sound horrific.
And you know, but here's the thing. Even in these like moments of horror, I think going back to like the rom-com, if we can be vulnerable and share,
yes,
it's got to make it better.
And also you come out of it, right? Like look at you today. Like you're back.
Right. Nothing is permanent.
Right.
It's all temporary. You eventually filled your car with gas.
We're back to that. Okay. You know what? Next episode, I'm going to think of a better, horrible day.
I mean, come on. No, but I think, and especially what we're going to talk about with Michelle, is taking that awfulness, that ick that you go through when you go through a divorce and you go through something that brings you to your knees and being able to turn it in to something like a full tank of gas.
Agreed. So let's get on with it, right?
Mic drop.
Let's introduce our lovely Michelle.
Ready to talk to her?
Yes, let's talk to her. Let's get it on and let's teach people. No, let's get this podcast
I thought you
on.
Said, okay.
No, sorry. We're not. And let's Move teach people how not to suck at divorce.
Let's do it.
All right.
Today's guest, Michelle Dempsey Moltak, is a fellow podcaster, a fellow Instagram personality, and more importantly, a certified divorce specialist and now author. Her book, Moms Moving On, is a practical and actionable guide to modern day divorce from someone who recently went through it.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you for being the first guest on our first episode of season two of our show.
That's awesome.
No, we're thrilled to have you. And, you know, one of the reasons that we invited you on the show is we love that you wrote a realistic guide with the focus on being able to move on with your life. And one of the things that I love about it is it's such a positive message in your book. And I understand that the need from the book came from a place of feeling like there was nothing currently available for someone in your age group going through a divorce. So I guess I'm just going to hop right in. Although the book is titled Moms Moving On, can most of your message in your book relate also potentially to a single dad or a dad moving on?
I love that you're asking that. And the short answer is yes. When we were putting the book together in the final edits, my editor said, you know, I think we should add something in the beginning, you know, in your intro to sort of let people know that while you're speaking from your perspective as a mom divorcing a dad, that the information really applies to anybody, same-sex marriages, hetero couples, non-hetero couples, all sorts of people, dads. And I mean, I wrote the book almost 2 years ago at this point in this journey that I've been on in helping people pass divorce. So many dads have reached out to me and they're like, you know, I follow you and I know I'm a guy, but all of the information applies because my ex-wife is high conflict or my new wife's ex-husband is high conflict. And so yes, while my brand is Moms Moving On, and that's the name of all the things that I do, it can absolutely apply, for sure.
Fantastic. Thank you, because we have so many listeners, male and female. We wanted to make sure that this is relevant for both of them. And, you know, one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about is your unique perspective, because you're a divorce mom, but also now a certified divorce specialist and a divorce coach. And so I guess my question to you is, did you find it difficult to bring these two perspectives together in the book?
You know, I think for me, so everything when I got separated and I went online to look for books, everything either felt like extremely prescriptive, like really general and not really speaking to anybody in particular. Any references to kids were not really from the mommy perspective. It was more from the, you know, legal perspective or the divorced over 50 perspective. And so I wanted to water down the prescriptive advice, like make it palatable, and then give my own mommy spin on it. So fusing the both, I think, was where the book really got its legs. And that's where people took interest in it, because it was not your average, like, how to get divorced book.
I love that. And, you know, one of the things, because I'm the legal mind on this podcast, mm-hmm. you know, if I'm talking legally, I think our listeners are asking, you know, what exactly do you believe the value or something that you bring being a divorce coach or a divorce specialist? Can you break down what those things are and how they work in a divorce in your mind?
In terms of the book or what I do professionally?
What you do professionally.
Yeah. So it's funny. So many lawyers that refer me clients are like, we need you on this one because I don't have time to hold this client's hand. And I think, you know, what I learned the hard way when I got separated was my lawyer wasn't worried about all of my like emotional mishigas, like, you know, like, oh my God, he said this, what do I do? And like, can you believe he once like didn't put her seatbelt on? All of these like little things that my lawyer didn't want to deal with and was just there to handle like the legalities of my divorce.
Yeah.
I realized that people still need that. And people get really frustrated with their lawyers when their lawyers literally can't also be their therapists. So, I mean, I think I bring the value like for the attorneys that they have somebody there to buffer all of that stuff and keep their clients in line and keep them focused on what's best for the children. And then from my client's perspective, it's like, you know, I've been asking my lawyer these questions. They won't even like read this email. Can you help me with this? So I'm somewhere in the middle. And I'd like to say that, you know, while I'm not a licensed therapist yet, I come from a background of trauma and resolving my trauma and all of that. And so I really connect with the people who are coming out of something very high conflict or abusive, or who have a lot of childhood trauma and then found themselves getting divorced because of that. And so there's a mix of therapy, there's a mix of strategy, there's a mix of like tough love, like too bad, so sad, we've got to move on now. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where the coaching with the divorce specialist kind of fused together.
So you're kind of like somebody's friend, but being paid and a little bit more tough love, but not at the price of a lawyer. Is that accurate?
Right. That would be it. And, you know, it's almost like somebody who read my book to endorse it said it was like a warm hug from a really tough big sister, you know, like
yep.
you want to help so badly that you like have to tell it like it is to get your point across. And I'm like, yes, that's exactly how it is. And unfortunately, in these high conflict situations, I mostly work with clients whose exes are high conflict. There's so much emotional abuse that has gone on that there's this natural desire to just say, okay, yes, I'm sorry, or give information when you shouldn't give information, or bend over backwards when you shouldn't be bending over backwards just to avoid another fight. And I help people see right through that and set the boundaries that they need to set. Because if you don't do that in the beginning, you guys know it's virtually impossible to do it later on. So
yeah. And, you know, I'll tell you from my perspective as a lawyer, without someone like you, the tough big sister, it either falls on us or they find a yes person. And the yes people, the neighbor, the friend that, you know, oh, everything you're doing, you know, I think back to Andrea sending crazy text messages. We talked about it in one of our podcasts. You know, we don't need a yes friend. We need someone that's going to tell you what the real deal is, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, they weren't crazy text messages. They're very, thoughtful,
passionate. We'll say gifts. Passion.
That's right. Yeah,
I stand by my choice. I choose my choice. But I wanted to say, I think that what's really interesting is you actually really allow for the attorneys and for the client to really like stay in their lane, which would only help expedite this whole process. If the attorney doesn't have to, I don't want to say waste time because it's not wasting time, but worry about holding the hand and taking care of all of the emotional stuff when really, like, I mean, as Morgan knows, like these are billable hours, right? Like you're paying them to go and get the job done. Like, send the email, get off the phone, let them handle the legalities. And on all of the other stuff, all of the stuff that's like eating you inside, take that to your coach, take that to the person who's like, okay, this is what's going on. These are all of the, like the logistics, but now I'm feeling so blank inside. Mm-hmm. And I know, like in my divorce, oh my God, I mean, not only did I need different representation, but my God, could I have used a coach just so that you really feel like you're not going through this process blindly. And I'm sure that that probably motivated you, Michelle, in wanting to do this because Now, wait, did you have a coach when you were getting divorced?
I had my mom. So my parents got separated when I was 8 and their divorce took 10 years to finalize. It was my entire adolescence. It was the most high conflict. Like it was like a made for TV drama. Like I had my own attorney by the time I was 11. Like it was awful. And so there was nobody like more well-suited to help me through mine than my mom, whose attitude was like, girl, we've been through worse. Like we're going to be fine here. So no, I didn't. But what I found was most people's parents were like, oh, shame on you. You're getting divorced. What are we going to tell people? That's so embarrassing. You don't want to stick it out. You don't want to try harder. I was very lucky to have somebody who had already been through it. But then again, she's also my mom and I couldn't talk to her about everything. And so what I didn't have from my mom, that's where I like turned to Instagram and I started talking about stuff and venting about my divorce. Like, and a lot of people, I mean, there wasn't much out there content wise on social media about divorce. And so I think that's where I started to connect with other women and really find that we needed a tribe.
So Instagram and your mother were your coaches essentially. Mm-hmm.
Instagram. I mean, my mom for sure. And you know, I had a friend who was actually widowed. She had gotten divorced and very shortly thereafter her ex-husband had passed away. So like she was a good source of relief for me, but every situation is so different. And it's like, you need somebody who's really been in your shoes to help you through it.
I agree with you. And, you know, as an attorney, one of the things that drew me to your book was your quote on the bio of your book. Basically, it said that you help people learn to trust their gut, because that's mm-hmm. always my advice. I say that mm-hmm. over and over again, because I think it's such an important guide that sometimes people just dismiss. So I guess one of the questions I had for you is, can you give our listeners some things that went through your mind where, you know, maybe during your divorce that your gut was sending you messages that you had to pay attention to?
Yeah. So the first one was my first attorney. I would go to bed at night being like, what is wrong with this person? And why did I just hand over so much of my money to this person? And
did you have that sick feeling in your stomach?
I was terrified. I felt so poorly represented and I kind of knew it. And, you know, people were like, oh, but you know, you've never done this before and lawyers are busy. And, you know, I once had an emergency where like I needed help immediately. It was either my lawyer was going to help me or I had to call the police. And he was like, what? What's that? Oh, I'm in Barcelona. It's beautiful here. Have you ever been? And I'm I just hung up the phone and I literally like started looking for other lawyers. So there was that. There was something, and I preach this all the time. So when an ex is not happy with you and your ex has your children and there is no parenting plan in place yet, it's going to be really hard to get your kids on the phone when they're with the other parent. I could not deal with that. Like I would call and call and call and call and call. And I felt like a psychopath. I was like literally stalking because I wanted to be able to talk to my child. So at one point before we finalized, my ex was going to take our then 2-year-old out of town on an airplane for a trip. And I was like, again, like, I can't let this happen unless I put something in place. And I said something to my attorney, like, I want to file a motion and add mandatory phone calls twice a day. And she's like, you know what? Why don't we just wait? And I was like, I'm not waiting. I need to add this to my parenting plan now, or I'm not going to be okay. Like call me anxious, call me crazy, call me whatever you want. I don't care. I need my kids to call me. And so there was that. And so, you know, yes, you're paying your lawyer to represent you and your lawyer knows best. But if there are things inside of you that are nagging you and you feel like need to come out and be heard in the process, like, don't swallow that just because somebody says it may not be worth your time.
I think that's right. I think that's good advice, even legally, when I deal with clients as well, because what matters to them should matter to me, whether mm-hmm. or not it is a real thought, meaning a real problem, or it's just something that they're so worked up about. It matters. And it should matter to your lawyer. So thank Absolutely. You for that.
I think that what is so interesting about something that you said earlier is the Instagram correlation. And actually, you know, this sounds so like social media can help and heal. But I mean, if you think about it, so Morgan, you and I met via Instagram, right? You found me and reached out to me. Michelle, yep. you and I met on mm-hmm. Instagram. And it's funny because it really is a place where people go for community and people go for relevant information and an escape and mm-hmm. levity and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I know that your Instagram presence is so impactful, right? Like you're welcome, and you built that. I mean, that is, you have the number of followers that you have, which I don't, like, how many millions of people right now are following you, Michelle? Like,
not millions at all, girlfriend. I mean, thank you. I don't know, 140,000.
140,000 might as well be a million. No, but I mean, they follow you for a reason. And I know that from my following, I have so many people who reach out to me privately and share their stories and ask me questions and look for guidance. And I know that you probably have the same thing going on over in your DMs.
Yeah, like by the boatload. And it started to give me so much anxiety that I couldn't answer everybody. Number one, I'm real big on protecting myself. I'm not giving you any advice until we've established a relationship. I know the full background and you've signed my client service agreement.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. You know, listen, with my husband doing what he does, he's like, you better be careful. Like, you tell that person to do this and that fucks them up. Like, that's on you. So between that and the fact that, like, I want to help everybody and I would get in bed at night and there would be 300-400 questions and I just couldn't get to it. That's what led me to start my membership community, because I wanted to be able to bring people in a separate space that wasn't Instagram, really get to know them one-on-one if they couldn't afford to work with me one-on-one, and then connect them to other people. So within our community, we have like subgroups and they've started these group chats on WhatsApp. And there've been like, there's one group chat on WhatsApp that started from one of my group workshops that I did. They're like best friends. They're planning trips together now. They're awesome. All over the country. And this chat every day I'm in it. And there's like, it's nonstop. It's the greatest thing. And seeing these women connect with each other, I'm like, how powerful is that? Like, my job here is done, you know? Yeah. So that's been really great. Like,
what are some of the most common comments that you see flying around those group chats or the questions that you get most often? What do you feel like?
Group chats, it's like, girls, can you believe this text he sent me? Can you believe he brought them back late? Can you believe he told them about their new girlfriend before he told me? It's always like the audacity, you know?
It's like hot gossip. Yeah.
But I could tell you in my DMs, the questions I get most are, I want to leave. I don't know how.
Yeah.
Am I a bad person for wanting to leave? Will my kids be messed up forever? And I get all sorts of questions, but those I see all day, every day.
That's interesting. That's interesting for our focus, for our podcast, because it's interesting from the DMs that I've gotten. They're very similar. And I'm happy to hear that we're getting the same ones.
Yeah. Mine, I feel like the majority of mine focus around knowing that I left when my kids were so young, that they were 2 and 4. And so I get a lot of, I wish that I could do what you did, but mm-hmm. I can't. Or I don't think I can. And right. Here's why. What do you think? And again, I'm the same thing that you do, Michelle. I'm like, I can't tell you what to do, mm-hmm. nor do I want to tell you what to do. But I understand and I feel you. And I think that I think it really it eats at me hearing that so many people are suffering and that so many people have that sense of just feeling so stuck, right? Mm-hmm. I will never be able to afford to get this divorce, or it'll ruin. I hear that a lot. It'll ruin my children. My children will never recover. Right.
I hate that one.
I do too. And I want to be able to say, you're going to ruin your children by staying in a wildly unhealthy, unhappy, toxic, you know, I want to do this whole like thing for them. Yeah. Like leaving is not going to ruin them. But then I always think like, well, pull back, Andrea, like you have no certifications behind your name. Like I'm speaking from my experience and what I know from other people. I'm not really an expert. And I think it's so hard, but I love that people have these platforms. They have you to go to and to read what you're writing and to listen to your podcast, to listen to our podcast, to read your book. And they have all of these ways to get as much information and support possible. Cause I think
I want to touch on that financial piece for a second, because that's the part that I feel sometimes I feel like it's not fair for me to preach, move on, you can do it, da, da, da. Because yeah, that fine. Financial piece keeps so many people stuck. I couldn't leave my marriage until I was already earning. I owned my own business at the time, and I had to make sure like I could take care of myself. And I still went to bed every night for 2 years after I left, worried I might lose a client. I wouldn't be able to pay my rent. That is, I want to validate that. It's awful and it's scary, but I've done so much deep digging into the topic of finances and how can you leave your marriage if you're in a really unhealthy marriage and you don't feel safe or secure and you're a stay-at-home mom with no income. And I explored that topic with a really great lawyer in Massachusetts on my podcast. And that episode, I'm going to have to connect you guys to him because you need to have the same episode, was probably my most popular. It was my third most popular in 2021. I mean, now you see that there is a need for it. And there are amazing resources out there for people who don't think that they can afford to get divorced. There's Nicole Noonan, who I don't know if you've been connected to yet. She's known as the fairy godmother of divorce. She started New Chapter Financial. She's helping people, giving them money, basically like a loan to get divorced. And so there are options. And so I try to share that as much as possible, because nobody should have to stay unhappy because they don't think they can afford to leave.
Right. Well, and like for a lot of people, I think that it's not just thinking that they can't afford. Like really, when you add up the dollars and cents, you have to be able to afford to move out of the house. I mean, it's real. I mean, I've been very forthcoming about the fact that I was not able to do what I did if my father was not supporting me financially. There's just no way. I saved money. I had a plan. And then like all good plans, something happens and everything goes sideways. Mm-hmm. And I had to move. I had to act fast. And I had the help of an organization here in the Chicago area that helps Jewish women out of domestic situations. But I need,
That in Miami too. That's great.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I utilize that service, but there needs to be more, just open dialogue about this so that women who don't just feel stuck, but who are actually pretty stuck, if you will, like see the way out. And not just women, there are men too, where they're like, maybe it's not from a financial standpoint, but they're miserable. Like they are absolutely miserable and they don't know what to do. There was a man that I was speaking to who, he and his wife both, you know, contribute to the household bottom line, but she's just like a generally unhappy person. And he's been, from what he describes, completely ignored for years and years and years and years. And now he's in a deep, deep depression because it's just miserable. The house is miserable. He's miserable, but there's still something stopping him from saying, I don't want to do this anymore. Right. And that's just so interesting to me. Like if we were really to look at people and like, why do people choose to remain so miserable? You know? Is it the fear that it'll never be better on the other side? I don't know.
I have these conversations all the time. I think for a lot of people, you know, there's not always toxicity in a high conflict environment. A lot of times it's being unfulfilled, but you still love the person. You still have spent all this time with the person and you don't want to hurt them because you love them. And I know a lot of situations that have ended much longer after they should have, just because of that, not wanting to let somebody down. And I can respect that, you know, that's a good person right there, but it takes a lot of guts to have to hurt somebody when you're not a malicious person.
I mean, Morgan, you've seen and heard it all in this department. I mean, I know that you've told me that you have clients where, like, they're not absolutely miserable, but it's just not right, you know? Right. And it's like, and it's just so interesting to
me. Well, it makes people feel guilty, right? So I'm putting myself first. So I see a lot of people that are middle-aged and they're saying to themselves, is this what my life's going to be like forever? And then if they say, I really want more for my life, then it's like, well, you should feel guilty because, you know, you're leaving your spouse at home or whatever it is. But in that same vein, I want to go back to the main event, which is your book, Michelle. And I want to focus on, I mean, I think that, you know, there's two things that are so unique about you. One is that you wrote the book from being divorced yourself, a mom being divorced yourself. And then now, you know, you also wrote the book from having your own certifications as a coach and specialist. So I want you, if you don't mind, to give our listeners, let's talk about you as the divorced mom. Perspective in your book. What are two pieces of advice you would say could help somebody through a divorce as a mom and somebody who's been through it?
So as a mom, I would say there's nothing we're more worried about than our kids in divorce. And I guess it applies to all aspects of the divorce personally and for our children. But the one thing I always say is that what's now is not forever. The difficulty in kissing your children goodbye, not forever. The difficulty communicating with your ex or soon to be ex, not forever. He may always be an asshole to talk to, but it's not going to feel this difficult. So what I can tell them is, you know, I made the rookie mistakes, all the rookie mistakes as a young mom getting divorced and being so worried about my child and nothing else. You have to worry about yourself too. Like you can't, your kids are going to be way more okay than you are right now. So you need to really like that oxygen mask thing on the airplane, put yours on, do the things you need to do. I write a lot in the book about just learning to put yourself first again. You know, when you're married, you are putting your husband and your children before yourself. Even if you're the strongest, most feminist person in the world, that's just what happens. And so you have to learn to put yourself first again. And that's going to help you in a lot of areas through the legal process, through the grieving and the angry process, through starting to date again and putting yourself out there. It's really important to do that for yourself.
I agree with you. So let's talk about putting on your other hats, which would be the divorce specialist and the divorce coach. What would you say, really important piece of advice or two pieces of advice that you would give somebody from those perspectives?
So from the divorce coach perspective, and as a specialist, slow down. There is no rush. Stop pulling your car over on the side of the road to fire off an angry email back to your attorney when you hear from opposing counsel. Stop acting like if you rush the divorce process, all of this drama is going to be over. If you don't make thoughtful and considerate decisions from a rational place instead of an emotional place in the divorce process, you're going to end up back in court post-judgment many, many times because you're going to be like, why did I make these decisions again? And that's a mistake I made. We'll own up to it. I made all the mistakes. Yeah, just couldn't wait to get it over with because I thought that was going to mean something. And
let's go. Chop, 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 chop.
Right. And for what? And there were so many things I overlooked that I needed, I should have added to my own parenting plan that I then had to do post-judgment, which costs a lot of money and time and energy and all of that. So
that's great advice. Thank you. I'm sure everyone is eating it up.
I mean, especially that last part. And guys, I mean, if this is something that I will drive home again and again and again, and everyone who listened to season one of our show, you heard me crying on more than one occasion about the mistakes that I made with the parenting agreement. And where we are, Michelle, it's really hard to modify the parenting agreement.
Same.
And And so that stuff, even like, even as I'm saying the words right now, I actually feel emotional and like sick to my stomach when I think about the fact that I was in such a rush. Now, part of that, I will say, I don't think was 100% my fault. Again, I think a lot of this falls on my representation, where it was like, come on, we got to get this in. We got to do, we got to go, we got to go, we got to go. And there were so many things that I overlooked. So if there is one thing that you took away from this episode, besides the fact that you need to run out and get on the list for Michelle's book, is that do not rush this. You cannot make these major decisions when you are feeling so emotionally charged. You have to stop. You have to think. You got to analyze. And if you need the help, there is help available. There, you can hire a divorce coach. And if you do not have the means for a divorce coach, Michelle, I want you to do a few things. I want you to tell everybody where they can go to sign up to be a part of this membership program that you have, so that people can find community. And also, just if we have any listeners who are kind of like, you know, creepy and they want to cyber stalk you, like in the middle of the night, you know, where could they go? I just want to look at pictures of, you know, all the amazing things that you do. Not that any of our listeners are creepy, but you know,
I try to post as few pictures of myself as possible. Sometimes I'm like, oh, this is cute, but nobody really cares about me and what I'm doing today. They just want the help. Okay. So the membership community, free to join. There is a VIP option, which is a monthly, very low monthly payment that gives people access to my monthly workshops without having to spend more. But the membership community itself is wonderful. It's momsmovingon.com. We have an app. We are constantly talking, sharing our wins. We try to keep it positive. I don't let it turn into app? Like, yeah. Well, the platform that we use for the community, they developed an app for. So everybody's, you know, now mobile for the community, which is so nice. We encourage legal questions. We encourage all sorts of questions. We encourage people to share how they're feeling. What we don't really encourage is any ex bashing, because I don't find it productive. It really serves no purpose. You could do that with your girlfriends at dinner. And so that's momsmovingon.com. You could also find the podcast there. It streams everywhere podcasts stream. And I pick my topics based off of what I'm getting from my clients, what I'm getting in my DMs. So I try to make it really targeted and specific to what people need to know. My guests have been fabulous. I tried dragging Andrea on at one point. I think that's still up in the air. You guys can.
Well, that was when I was still in the heat. And I know. Was like,
I get
and
it.
Now we can talk.
And for one-on-one coaching, that you can find more info on my site as well. I am booked up for the season, but waiting list for the spring. I would love to be able to work with you guys one-on-one.
I love that you're talking about divorce and seasons.
Well, Jen, you know, this time of year, everybody's totally. Like,
this is the this divorce is Super Bowl we're in.
I mean, Super Bowl, and a divorce Super Bowl.
I was flying back from my winter break trip, and I'm like, I got Wi-Fi on the airplane, and I flew back on the second or third of the month. And it was like, hi, are you taking clients? Hi, are you taking clients? I'm going to get divorced. I'm going to get divorced. I'm like, wow, divorce month is really a thing, you guys.
Really. And then last, did you already leave your Instagram handle?
My Instagram is at the Michelle Dempsey. That's where you can find me. And there's links in my bio to all of the other things. So sorry for driving everybody crazy with all the places.
No, you have so much. And like, and also just, I want you to know that the amount of time and the energy and the emotional energy that you must have like spent to put together such a thoughtful book is really something that should be commended. So major mazels to you for doing that, because doing something that is so well thought out, like that takes a lot, especially for someone who went through it. Like I'm sure there was lots of that book that you were like, you know, so it's going to help so many people. And we will have a link in the show notes for where people can go, because it's still in pre-order. Is that correct?
Still in pre-order. If you do pre-order the book, I'm doing a free live summit on launch day, on the day the book comes out. So make sure you pre-order so you can join us. And I'm going to have some of the divorce industry experts who contributed to the book join me on this live virtual summit day so everybody can pick our brains and get some more information behind the scenes.
That is so awesome. Well, guys, the book is called Moms Moving On, and you need to get in line to get a pre-order copy of this phenomenal book. Michelle, you've given everyone so much good information, and I think you're the big sister that everybody needs.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. I love that you're doing this, and I love that you had me on, and I want to come to Chicago and see you both when it gets warmer out.
Come visit anytime.
Yeah. You know, now since you are in like beautiful, like Miami, you probably don't want to come up here to like Siberia, but yeah, we should.
Yeah, wait,
what are we talking about? Morgan, we should be going to see her.
I should become, it's great here right now. I mean, I just left Colorado and that's like my happy place. I do love the cold, but you know, it gets old having to bundle up your kids three times a day. So kudos to you guys.
We know that. Well, thank you again. We look forward to the book coming out and hopefully having you again as a guest. You were very
thank
helpful.
You. Thank
All
you.
All right, Michelle, thank you.
Oh man, that was, I feel like I need like another deep breath. Yeah, another drink, a deep breath after all of that. Just
real talk.
Real talk.
Yes.
A heavy conversation, but an important conversation.
Agreed.
And there's no better way to respect all of the validity that we talked about with Michelle than to wrap it with a real trashy game that you and I decided that we would play to close out every episode of season two. So guys, we were thinking about different things that we could do to kind of be in place of our Tales from the Internet segment, which we loved, but honestly, we ran out of stories. We read all of them.
Ran out of good stories.
So we decided that we are going to ask each other every episode five rapid fire style questions. The other person does not know what the questions are. We have to answer with the first thought that comes to mind, okay? So there can't be lots of pauses. If we feel like we cannot answer the question because it'll get us into some legal trouble, then
or just trouble in general,
then we're going to respond with decline to comment.
All right, so there's no better name for this segment than decline to comment.
That's right. Okay, let's do this. Who's going first?
You are.
I'm asking you first?
You're asking.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do this.
Okay, start your engines. Morgan, are you ready to play decline to comment?
I am ready.
Okay, here we go. Question number one. When was the last time you worked out?
Today.
What kind of workout was it?
A sweaty one.
Okay. Your favorite current reality TV show?
Oh, God, I don't have time for TV.
Oh, that is such a bullshit answer.
Decline to comment.
Stop! Name a food that you hate.
Beets.
When was your last date night?
I have no idea.
What?
I know, it's pathetic.
Oh, God.
If my husband's listening to this, he will know what's needed.
Your husband's not listening to this.
No, he's
Let's
not.
Let's be real.
All right, moving on. You ready? You ready?
I'm ready. Put me in the hot seat.
Ready. Andrea, what's the longest time you've gone without washing your hair?
A week.
Okay. Have you worn workout pants to try to disguise them as real pants?
Every single day.
Have you used hand sanitizer as perfume?
No.
What?
What?
What would you name a boat if you had one?
Vomit.
Is there life after death?
No.
Describe to a six-year-old what you do for work.
Okay. I help people. Stop laughing at me.
Sorry, kid.
I help people get their message across for their business in the best way possible.
That's a good one. Mm. All right, so that closes our decline to comment segment.
Did you know that I hate boats?
No.
I hate boats.
Who are you?
I hate water. I will never go on a cruise.
We are total opposites. Well, I won't go on a cruise either, but we are total opposites.
I know. You love being, I just, disgusting.
Okay.
Disgusting. disgusting. But all right. I mean, we digress.
Everybody, we absolutely love and appreciate every single one of you. We know that divorce is hard. It's actually awful at times. We know it's draining. And we know that the unknown can feel super scary. Our goal is to offer some guidance and some levity at times.
That's right. And that's what you're here for, right, Morgan?
Yeah, totally.
The that's levity. Mm-hmm. And if you need help pumping your gas, we'll find someone for you because Morgan will not be your person. Okay, guys, very exciting news. We now have a website for you to go to.
That's right.
So please, for more information, take your little fingertips and type in www.hownottosuckatdivorce.com for more information and how to reach us.
And ultimately, to help you not to suck at divorce. So follow us personally on Instagram. I'm Divorce Attorney Chicago.
And I am at the Andrea Rappaport.
Tell your friends, tell your book club. Heck, tell anybody your ex about our show if you want.
We're here to help everybody.
That's right.
Honestly, whoever it is. And when you are in the thick of it, remember this. It is day by day.
Or hour by hour.
That's right.
So you've got this and we've got you. And this is How Not to Suck at Divorce. See you next time.
Bye.